our bill was really high. The food was okay. Honestly, I gave it a try. Not my favorite.
This is LJ, owner and founder of Smart Moms Plan Disney and Smart Moms Travel. Welcome to the Smart Moms Plan Disney podcast. I wish I could be with you for every episode, but don't worry, I have chosen an awesome host who will be with you each and every week. I love her and I know you will too. Here's Allie.
Welcome back to another episode of the Smart Moms Plan Disney podcast. I am your host, Allie, and I am so excited today as we are going to do our very first trip review talking about spring break. What is it like at Disney? I am joined today by Becky. How are you, Becky?
I'm doing so good, Allie. How are you?
I'm doing great. You and I have both just returned from spring break trips. They both looked really different. So I'm excited to talk about what was the same and what was different and really decide, is spring break Disney doable?
Sounds like a great conversation to have, especially this time of year.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your trip. Who did you go with? Did you stay at Disney World? What were you doing?
So because we're local, we're able to go up on a regular basis. So we did not stay on property. We usually stay off property if we're just going up for a short amount of time. However, I say that as a local, I would never have done that if I wasn't at Disney on the regular basis, simply because the traffic is chaos. Can I tell you how much traffic we were stuck in on our drive into Disney? And to just get into the bubble and not have to worry about that traffic, I wish so badly that was the case. But that being said, I went with my family. So me and my husband, Sean, and then we have three teenagers. Well, Laker's almost a teenager, right? He turns 13 very soon. It was the five of us. We went and did park days. We went to ride Tron specifically, was kind of the target, and then going and seeing Happily Ever After. So the parks were the focus of our trip for spring break this year.
Yeah, my family, very similar. We had big aspirations that we were going to do some things that I'll talk about in a little bit that we had maybe done before. But as you mentioned, Tron was opening, which we have discussed a little bit on the show. We'll talk about more today. Happily Ever After, the fireworks show at Magic Kingdom, coming back. So we had some things we had to do. Plus, my twins are finally at a height where they were able to do more attractions than ever before. So our trip became more ride focused as well as park focused. And that's not typically the way we love to do things. So we were kind of having a park attraction spring break, as you would know it in the traditional sense. We were there for a week. We arrived on a Saturday and we left on a Friday. So pretty much an entire week we were there, like a normal spring break family. And we drove down, which I will also, I'm going to save that conversation for a little bit later, but we had a wonderful time. Spring break is challenging. I think the heat is doable. It's not summer heat yet.
I think that the heat is something that is kind of hard to plan for that time of year, because you could have summer heat, but you could also have a little bit chillier and need a little bit of layering in the morning. And so spring break can be tricky for March, April in Florida.
Right. Tell me this, as a Florida local, is rain typically over by spring break time? We're talking, let's say, last 2 weeks of March, first 2 weeks of April.
So that's the tricky thing, because it did rain on us on spring break. And we actually ended up having to stay underneath the tarp at Tron when we came out because it was pouring on us. And March is not a typical heavy rain month. Heavy rain months in Florida are during hurricane season, which is June to November. That's not to say that those aren't doable months, but that's the month that it's going to rain every day. You're going to have a mid-afternoon shower. This was really odd to have the amount of rain that we had, in my opinion.
That's interesting, because we didn't have a drop. And you were there the day after I left, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So we were there for that entire week that I mentioned without a drop of rain. No rain at all. No clouds at all. It was never chilly at all. We had, actually in the mornings, it was nice. It was a little brisk in the morning, which was really, really wonderful. And then it heated up as the day went on. We had four full pool days where we were just relaxing and hanging out at our resort pools, which are my favorite types of days. And I'm going to talk a little bit about where I stayed in our sleepy section. But we did do a split stay. So we experienced two different resorts, two resort pools, drinks by the pool, pool games that Disney offers. And it was lovely. Those are really my favorite days of vacation. I know my wife loves them as well. And to be honest, my kids do too. You know, those hours by the pool. I mean, I know we're focusing so much on the parks while we're down there. But those days at the pool are part of our what we love about Disney World.
I think that that can't be overstated enough. People worry so much about the park days and opening times and closing times and all of the things about the parks. But I think spring break in particular is a perfect reason to have those kinds of down days and rest days, because the parks are so busy that having those pool time where you can just be a family and phones are put away and the connection that can happen on those rest days is just, you can't overstate it.
It's amazing because you don't typically have your, as you just said, your phone. You're not trying to book Genie selections. You aren't battling huge lines. And I'm not somebody that just loves to swim. I like to sit on the edge and watch my kids swim, but I love going down water slides. And I went down both water slides at our resorts multiple times with my kids, and it was so much fun.
You went down the water slides?
I always go down the water slides.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I love that you went down them. We went down, I go down the water slides with my kids as well. And we go every spring break. And so this isn't necessarily just to this spring break, but on our last spring break, I went down the water slide at the boardwalk. And thank goodness that clown is gone.
I miss the clown.
Oh my gosh, you seriously? Yeah. Oh, Allie, you were the one person that thought that clown was good.
The clown slide is like embedded into my childhood.
I am certain that the speed on that, what was the clown slide, it's now Mickey and Minnie's. It kind of has the vibe of Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway now.
Yeah.
And I love it so much. But the speed on that slide is just amazing. And my kids were in a loop over and over and over on that slide at the boardwalk.
This was our second spring break in a row. We did spring break last year with a bunch of friends. We took two other families with us. We had seven kids ages 10 and under, and including my twins were the youngest at age 4 at the time. So we had a big spread, lots of kids, lots of adults, lots of different agendas and itineraries. That was last year. And this year it was just my family and another friend of ours. And so the agendas were a little different, you know, when you're dealing with that many kids versus just my little family, but both were doable. I would say if spring break is going to be your one and done, this is the only time we're ever going to Disney, you might want to strategize a different time.
Yeah.
You may not be able to see and do every single thing, but if it's the perfect time for your family and it's the only time you can make work and it's the only trip you're ever going to take, by all means, go for it. But if you're trying to experience all that Disney has to offer, spring break is going to make that a little bit tricky.
Absolutely. Do you think that spring break is the busiest time on Disney property?
I do. And Christmas.
I would say it's a very close second for me behind that week between Christmas and New Year's. And like you were just saying, there is no bad time to go. Like if that's what works for your family, it's definitely doable. But your plan is going to have to be different because you're not going to be able to do everything simply because of the crowd levels.
Yeah, look, I was just there, right? I was there with my family. We did the whole thing, resorts, parks, pools, dining. We did it all. And I will always do it all. Like I said, I just did it last year. But I am also a family that goes a lot. So I'm okay if we miss a thing here or there. It's okay if everything doesn't go perfectly as planned, as it never will with Disney anyway. But if it is really important to you, that's something to consider when you're thinking about a spring break trip. If you can't go with the flow or you're nervous that following that flow is going to make you miss something that means a whole lot to you, you know, that may happen.
Yeah, I think when you're planning a spring break trip, having flexible plans is going to be important because like we say always over and over and over, right? You need to be adaptable because something's going to be different than what you're expecting. But then I was thinking you were there 2 years in a row, one with multiple families and one with your own family. Do you find that you were able to accomplish more on one of those trips versus the other trip?
You know what I did notice? When we had three families and seven kids, we did a lot more splitting off and changing up plans that way. So if some of the kids weren't going to be able to hang for fireworks, some of the adults went back to the pool and did like a late night swim, and some of us stayed back. And I specifically remember at Hollywood Studios, some of us, we had an individual lightning lane for Rise of the Resistance, and some of the kids weren't tall enough. And the plan was everybody was going to hang in the park and wait. They ended up leaving and we stayed. So we were all able to accomplish what we wanted, and we were all able to accomplish different things. This time, with my kids being taller, we had so much fun experiencing everything together. My little ones got on Guardians of the Galaxy, which was a highlight of my trip.
Oh.
And we got September as our song. And so it was this amazing moment because I had not had that song yet. We had the best time, like sitting next to my little 5-year-old who was so giddy and just so happy to be part of it because they've been so short for so long. Mm. So that was really great. And then another highlight was we did Enchanted Tales with Belle over at Magic Kingdom, which has been gone since pre-COVID. It just came back since the pandemic shut down. And my oldest daughter was selected to be the Beast, which is actually her second time doing it. And it was awesome.
That is amazing. It sounds like you had some like core memories made on this trip, and we had some as well. And I love that we're in two different places in momhood. You have littles and kids who are just kind of heading into the school age. And I have teenagers who so many people shy away from taking their teenagers to Disney. And I can tell you, I've taken my kids since they were months old, even weeks old. And taking them as teenagers, we made some amazing, amazing memories sitting on Main Street waiting for Happily Ever After, just telling stories to each other, taking silly filter pictures of each other. Like, I would never trade these memories I made this last weekend for.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely not. Me either. And we, Happily Ever After is back. We are part of Team Happily Ever After. And I am so connected to that fireworks show. I am so happy it's back. We were there for opening night. So we had opening night of Happily Ever After crowds meets spring break crowds. And we were still able to ride Jungle Cruise, Pirates of the Caribbean, Thunder Mountain, Small World, Peter Pan, Enchanted Tales, Mine Train, Space Mountain, and the Cars, the Tomorrowland Speedway. We still did all of that.
That is remarkable. But did you use Genie Plus?
I absolutely did.
I do not know how you do Disney during peak season without Genie Plus. But like we've talked about back on our Genie Plus episode, right? We were talking about it was rare for it to sell out. Every day we were there, Genie Plus sold out.
Yep. Every day I was there, it was selling out. We have a lot to touch on when it comes to spring break, traveling to Disney World during these crowded seasons. The weather is changing. Is it going to be hot? Is it going to be brisk? Are you going to be able to see the shows, ride the attractions, experience Disney at its best during these peak seasons? We are going to dive deep and find the answer when we come back from this break. Okay, everyone, listeners of the Smart Moms Plan Disney podcast, subscribers, participants, we are so excited. We have something big. Like, I cannot even believe how big this is. Smart Moms Plan Disney podcast is partnering with Smart Moms Plan Disney to give away a deluxe Disney family vacation. We are giving it away to one family. A deluxe vacation. Families of up to four will be able to stay at a Disney deluxe property for 3 nights with 4 days of tickets. Have more than four in your family? That's no problem. Families of up to six can stay in a family suite at Art of Animation and still get the 4 days of tickets. This would cost almost $7,500 to go book this trip on your own, and we're going to give it away to one family for free. Free. Also, we're moms here, so we've made it easy to enter. We know that you don't have a lot of time to waste taking forever to enter a contest, so follow the link in our show notes and on all of our social media bios, and entering will be a breeze. There are several ways to enter, and the more you do, the better chances you have of going to visit the mouse on our dime. Welcome back, everyone. We are going to dive right on into our sevens, starting with happy. Becky, what makes you happy about spring break Disney, traveling down during a peak season, or I guess in your case, driving over?
So happy at spring break. I love that the hours of the parks are extended during those times. They open early, they close late. You typically, like Fantasmic, typically will have two showings per night during these times. So I really love the chance to have the parks open for the most amount of time during these peak times.
When you say open early, you don't mean like early entry that they do all year. You mean the hour at which these parks are opening is earlier than other times of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. So sometimes during the year, for instance, Magic Kingdom might not open until 9 on a day, but during the peak times, they recognize we got to get people through these. People are here. So they'll open at 8, for instance. And then if you're staying on property, you get that extra. So you're going to get into the parks at 7:30 on those days. And so I really love those extensions to those typical park days where you're not living in a 9 to 8 window for the park to be open.
Yeah, I completely agree. And we definitely took advantage of that on some of our days while we were down there. We did rope drop only once. I've mentioned a few times I'm not a big rope dropper myself. We did rope drop one day at Animal Kingdom because we were going to be hopping over to Epcot. We wanted to make sure we got everything in that we wanted to. And it was already packed. We got in that park, I believe it was 7:36, I think is what I clocked when I walked into the park. And it was already crowded. It was already flooded with people. Lines were there. I completely agree with you. Having the opportunity to get in there early and get started on the day, knowing that we had a lot of goals for the day, because when you're at Disney World, you can have a lot of goals. That is so wonderful. It's such a great thing to be going on when you're there during a peak season.
So we are also not rope droppers because teenagers are tired. They are tired humans.
So are moms.
They're good. Moms are also, yes. How many times can we hit snooze? Are you a hit the snooze person at Disney?
No, but only because I like to brew my coffee and then enjoy the balcony before I have to get everybody up.
That is so, so fair. I am a hit the snooze. I probably hit snooze at home probably minimum of 5 times a day. I hate mornings, but I'm a morning person at Disney. The rest of my family, though, they want to sleep in. But on spring break, or if you're there during a peak season, those hours in the morning are as quiet as it's going to be for the day. So you need to prioritize those rope drops, in my opinion.
Oh, I completely agree. The whole midday slump over spring break, I don't really think exists. 8 times these parks were crowded, open to close, early open to late close. You know, they were crowded. And so the extra hours really helps. And here's the thing. I'm quoted on this show saying I don't care to take my kids out of school. And I really don't. You know, I have trips planned for already next school season. And I know my kids are going to miss some school. But I do love, because we travel quite frequently as a family, I like taking trips on spring break. I like that my kids are out of school. It just feels a little bit more relaxed. And that's something about being down there during this peak week that makes me feel good. My kids aren't missing anything, even though if they were, it wouldn't be the biggest deal. I like that we're down there and everybody is truly, truly on a break.
I couldn't agree more. I was off work. Sean was off work. There was no like, let me look at my email because our companies were shut down. It's just a matter of everybody can truly check out when school is closed. You're actually on PTO, really prioritizing that family time. You can't understate how important really unplugging can recharge you.
Yeah. And no matter what we do, even if we carve out breaks, which we do, where we take off work or we take the kids out of school and we create that break for ourselves, there is still that element of this is in the back of my mind. You know, my work is still there. Their school is still there. And so knowing that it's that true, true break, I mean, that's why it's so busy, right?
Yeah, 100%.
But it's worth it. And I like that about it, even though I'm willing to do it the other way. Something else that makes me really happy is that if you celebrate Easter, the Easter eggs.
Oh,
they're so beautiful. Did you see the Easter eggs? I did. Talk about the Easter eggs.
So the very first ones that we saw was we started our day in Steakhouse 71, which shout out Steakhouse 71. Like if you haven't been there, you need to get there, especially for brunch. So we saw them. They are massive. In my head, they were small handheld size eggs because I've seen pictures before. But no, they're like huge and chocolate and decadent and hand painted, hand created, inspired by lots of different creators and artists and all kinds of things, and dedicated to Disney ideas. I saw one that had a hand painted Alice in Wonderland that is just, how is this chocolate? How is this chocolate?
Yeah, I don't even know that we can explain them to do them justice. They're works of art. They're real chocolate and they take months for the artists to create. And one of my favorite ones was sort of this, it looked like a blueprint of Walt.
Oh.
And like what the castle was going to be. And then it had this gorgeous gold trim going between it. And the top half was the castle and its creation as it looks now.
Oh my gosh.
It was so beautiful. And then Kevin, the bird from
Kevin.
Up, which,
yes.
Which don't even get me started on the movie Up. I'm not going to watch that movie. That is the worst movie ever.
Worst?
Worst.
Wait,
I've never.
Worst as in like you hated it, or worst as in like you were sobbing?
I will never watch that movie again.
It's such an emotional roller coaster, but
I cannot watch two people that loved each other their whole lives. I mean, spoiler alert, if you've never seen Up, I can't I can't watch them not like fulfill their dreams and travel.
You know what's so crazy to me about Up in general is, so we have our DBC group, our Disney Bounding group on Facebook, and we had a poll during Valentine's Day. Who is your favorite Disney couple? Carl and Ellie won by a landslide. It was like over 50% of people said Carl and Ellie.
Yeah. And that's why I won't watch their movie, because they're such a...
It's such a beautiful love story.
They're such a dang sweet couple that I don't want to watch what happens to poor sweet Ellie.
Oh, it really is just that Kevin egg.
The Kevin egg is remarkable.
It really was. Kevin in general, with his placement of Up in Disney World, like meeting, have you ever met Kevin?
I just did.
Not the Easter egg, but the actual Kevin.
Yeah. Kevin walks around the Animal Kingdom. It was actually not my first time, but my twins was their first time. And they loved it. It was amazing.
Oh my God.
Here's another thing that made me super happy. So I had never discovered the dinosaur lounge in the Dinoland area of Animal Kingdom.
Okay, wait, there's a lounge in the dinosaur area?
Yeah.
Apparently, I didn't know about this either.
It's sort of directly across from Dinosaur the Ride, and they make this dino sour. It's like a take on a mojito, and it is so good. And I may have had two of them and then got on Dinosaur, which...
Okay. You had two strong drinks, I'm assuming, because Disney does their drinks pretty strong typically.
Two dino sours, then got on the dinosaur attraction. It's just my wife and I and our twins. My oldest daughter was riding Flight of Passage with our friend. So it's just the four of us. And I swear at some point I almost buried my head in my five-year-old daughter. My friends were laughing. They were like, is this you going in to hide your face?
It wasn't your five-year-old hiding in yours. It was hiding in your five-year-old's shoulder.
Yeah, she was all good.
Oh my gosh, I love that. So over in that area, though, is an area that I love that gets overlooked so much when people are talking about places to eat in Animal Kingdom, is we always eat at the Restaurantosaurus. And it's just nostalgic to me. Like, we go and eat in the garage area, and it's just, there's so many hidden Disney details in that restaurant that I think it's a really overlooked area.
Yeah, that whole area has some cool hidden gems, and we did have a good time exploring it for spring break. And it was a nice area to sort of be relaxed and get away from some of the crowds, because I think it wasn't as busy as some of the other areas of the park. Animal Kingdom was wildly busy. And I think we can use this to transition into Grumpy and really just talk about the crowds and the pricing, right? Mm-hmm. That is what is hard about spring break. The crowds were tough. You have to have patience. You have to have flexibility. We, as I said, got to Animal Kingdom. I know we've talked a lot about that specific day at 7:30 in the morning. And by the time we made our way past the restroom and used the restroom and then got to Pandora, Flight of Passage, which thankfully we had individual lightning lanes for, was on a 145-minute wait.
At 7:40 in the morning?
So it was probably just after 8 by the time I got over to it.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. So over a 2-hour wait that early in the morning. But it's reality. It's the reality of spring break. And it's why you have to have Genie Plus. It sounds like you did individual lightning lane for Flight of Passage.
We did.
And you had Genie Plus as well.
Yeah, we did it all. And I'm going to say that we can almost merge this with our dock strategies, right? The things that are making us grumpy about spring break are the things that you have to use dock to strategize. So luckily, we had a return time for the Lion King show. And I had the foresight to think to do that. A lot of times we won't get a lightning lane for a show. That just seems like a waste to me. Mm-hmm. Not over spring break. We finished breakfast. We had a character breakfast at Tusker House, which was a great way to meet Mickey, Goofy, Donald, and Daisy. One-on-one time. It was awesome. The food at Tusker House, oh my gosh, is so good.
I need to get there. I haven't done that character meal yet.
Oh.
And I know. And you know, we've always talked about like strategy with those character meals. I think that these types of times when the parks are this busy, it might be better taking a time to sit down and have a meal, because you're going to escape the heat, but you're also going to escape the crowds.
Yep, exactly. And that's what we did. We rope dropped the safari. That was my dock strategy. We got in there. We got it done. We had a lightning lane for Flight of Passage. We Tusker House character breakfast and had already done a few important things. Had that lightning lane immediately following for Lion King, which is right by Tusker House. And I'm telling you that the line for the Lion King show, which if you have not seen it, it's so amazing. Mm-hmm. You could not even walk. I was on my stories on Instagram kind of showing the crowd in that moment because it was elbow to elbow, ooh, backed up as far back as you could go through the turnstiles and way beyond. And there is just no way. We scanned right in and got great seats. We actually picked the back row of the section we were in. We were in the Warthog section so that my kids could stand up and sort of see, which they're allowed to do in the back row because it's sort of a crowded theater. There is no way everyone that was in that line got in. There's just no way. And they were standing out in some very intense heat.
Those lines are crazy during this busiest time. I'm curious how far, did you see how far back the line, the standby line for Flight of Passage went while you were there? You got to do the individual lightning lane, so you went straight up the shorter line, but did you see how far it went back?
There's like a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it went up that bridge.
And I've stood in that line before. Like we were almost back to the Lion King at one point, not this recent trip, but on a spring break trip when we got there midday, the line to ride Flight of Passage was almost to the Lion King at one point on one of my spring break trips.
Yeah, I've never actually waited in the full queue for Flight of Passage. I've always done...
Because you're smarter than me.
Yeah, yeah. And so we were super lucky and we accomplished so much. I already said how much we rode at Magic Kingdom. And actually, our Magic Kingdom full day, we did a day and a half at Magic. The day we did the full day is the day we really focused on the rides. And mm-hmm. we were able to go truly in a strategic order and just knock them out. It was so easy. Oh, and we did Haunted Mansion. I didn't mention that. And we just went in order along that circle. You know, we started left and followed the pattern of the park and it felt pretty relaxed. We didn't wait in any lines, took breaks to eat snacks and enjoy and got a position for Happily Ever After. We were center right in front of I was sending you pictures, Becky.
Yes.
We were centered right in front of the castle. We had a perfect view for the return of Happily Ever After. It was a great day. And because of our use of Genie Plus, because of our dock strategies.
Yeah, that strategy is so important. But for me, coming as somebody who's there often, I saw the price of Genie Plus that day and I was like, guys, we're just going to have to change our focus. Rides are not going to get to be the focus for the day because $35 per day per person, that was a hard thing to swallow.
And this is why Grumpy mm-hmm. is paired with Doc because look at how much extra I had to spend.
Plus your individual lightning lane, right? Plus lightning lane.
Which I did purchase for, well, we did them all now that I think about it. We had Rise, Flight, Guardians, and Mine Train. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's part of the just acknowledgement of if you're traveling during spring break, you are not having to miss school. These are the benefits of it, but there's also some disadvantages.
You have two options when you go for spring break. You add Genie Plus and individual lightning lanes into your budget, or you decide you're not going to be focused on rides and you don't let it upset you when you don't hit them all.
Yeah. Those are really the only two options. And I think we kind of split here. You did the Genie Plus option and Sean and I and our kids did three rides the entire day and didn't do Genie Plus because we were not going to stand in 2-hour lines. Things that don't have lines had lines. Carousel of Progress had a line.
Everything. Literally everything had a line.
Yeah.
So I rode Tron 3 times on my trip. I rode it I was hosted by Disney at the front end of my trip. So I got to ride like a sneak peek preview. And then I got the virtual queue on our second Magic Kingdom day. That is the only reason we went back to Magic Kingdom. It is just not our family's favorite park. Even my little ones, they seem to kind of gravitate toward the other parks, which I love, I'm totally fine with. But we went back for half a day so I could take my oldest on Tron. And I bought the Lightning Lane for us as well because our virtual queue time was way after park hopping hours and we didn't want to be there that long.
Yeah.
So I bought that for her and I. That day we did not focus on rides and we loved that day. We just did, her and I did Tron. Nobody else rode anything. We saw the parade for the second time because we did see it the day before. And then we got silhouettes done on Main Street, which has been like a bucket list thing for us. I got all of their silhouettes done. I was so happy about that. So it was nice just to be able to take it slowly. So multiple days in parks is also a good strategy. Mm-hmm. So we had already done a lot of the rides. So we did the silhouettes, Tron, the train, and we called it a day at Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, we went on three rides. And if I tell you the three rides, you're going to laugh at me. But the train was one. Tron was one. Do you know what my third one would have been? What ride am I never going to skip?
Oh, People Mover. Yeah, it was coming out of my mouth. It was coming out of my mouth, of course.
People Movers. I have to ride People Movers. And two of those rides aren't, I don't even know if you would really consider them rides. They're just transportation. I mean, People Movers is a ride, but I love it. The view I get of the castle. Seriously, those are the three rides that we rode. And it was one of the best days ever. It's okay if you don't get on all of the rides. Disney provides other ways to make memories that don't have to be only tied to going on rides.
And that's the thing, right? Because we had these this day and a half at Magic Kingdom. One day was all about the kids getting on their rides. And the other day was just sort of taking in Main Street. We never left Main Street other than my oldest daughter and I riding Tron and heading back to Main Street. We did not leave that whole first half of the day. I preferred that day.
Yeah.
We had a Mickey sink on Main Street. You know, that's the big ice cream that comes in big the plastic ice. Sink that looks like Mickey's pants.
Oh.
And we enjoyed that. And it was the best day. We had so much fun. So I just encourage people to see beyond the rides, even though we did have a ride focused trip in a lot of ways. And we did utilize Genie Plus and Lightning Lanes and all of that. I have really little kids and it means a lot to them, but I didn't do it every day.
Some of the best memories that we had, again, were just things that happened. We didn't plan it. The kids were like, can we have pretzels? And I rarely will buy them pretzels, but I was like, sure, let's grab pretzels. And I got pictures of each of them. I'm going to have that snapshot of my teenager holding a Mickey pretzel and just having so much fun talking to each other and laughing about stories. And it's priceless.
And those are the things you have to be able to see beyond these crowds that make us so grumpy. And you've got to be able to see what else is going to be offered at spring break time. Those moments are what matter the most.
And something I noticed that we did do actually this time that we never would have probably done, but it was available. You talked about the Easter eggs, but also in Magic Kingdom, you can meet Mr. and Mrs. Easter Bunny in Magic Kingdom.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they are over there. We did not do that, but they are there.
Yeah, it's kind of over behind that ye olde Christmas shop area, which if it's not Christmas or Easter, that area is a overlooked place to like check out and give your kids and yourself some chill time.
Want to hear a funny story about that area?
Yeah.
I found myself at Magic Kingdom, the trip you and I were on together a few months back. Okay. Everybody was gone. I had a flight later than everyone. So I found myself alone at Magic Kingdom after one of our teammates had left. And so I was kind of walking around and I didn't want to do any attractions. I was just kind of passing time and taking it in. And I thought, I'm going to go relax in that area that you're talking about. And they actually have a little grass area where service dogs can go to the bathroom.
Yep.
But it's quiet back there. So I walked back there and I ran into LJ.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, she was sitting
there. What's the chances?
She was sitting there and I was looking at my phone and all of a sudden I hear this, Allie, and I look up and there she is sitting there.
Oh, what's the chances? I feel like that is just a place that maybe us smart moms know because we know Disney so well that it's like, this is a place you can go to sit down if you need to catalog some pictures you're taking, if you need to just decompress for a minute. You said the funny thing about the little grass area for the service dogs to relieve themselves, right? Laker, we were walking back that way and we crossed the bridge coming from the Adventureland entrance. We cross over that way and he's like, hey, there's some grass, because they wanted to have their Mickey pretzels on the hub grass, but it was solid sun. And in that moment, sun was 90 degree heat. It was way too much. So we're like, let's go find some shade. He's like, I see grass in the shade. And he went over and almost sat down. I'm like, Laker, wait. Yeah. And it was just this area. Mr. and Mrs. Easter Bunny were not there at the moment. They were on their break. But it was just such a quiet, tucked behind place that for me would have been the hubgrass perfection, quiet decompress time. But we found shade and a bench and it was awesome. I have my picture of Macy sitting behind McKenna, French braiding her hair now because it was so hot, like just back in that perfect little alcove.
That's what you need. And like I said, those tiny moments, those are what are going to make your spring break trip extra magical.
Mm-hmm.
The first ride on a new attraction, you know, riding Guardians with my twins for the first time, that is core memory. But riding, you know, Small World for the 1,000th time is fun, but it's not my favorite memory of the trip.
Yeah, we did have one of those memories made during the Tron. We were in there and I intentionally, anytime I'm doing something for the first time, I try not to be the record it person because I want to experience and make that memory as well. And so that moment in Tron, I'm sure you know, when you're in Tron, that moment, you're kind of in a room and then it's like, boom, it's like all five of us were like, whoa, that was so cool because we had avoided spoilers. So always finding those firsts with your kids and just being present in the moment. It's a great opportunity for that during spring break and these busy times.
Can I add one more doc strategy to our list here?
Yeah.
Add the water parks to your Disney vacation package on spring break.
Amen. Times 1,000. No matter what age your kids are, I think a lot of people are afraid of the water parks with littles. But good gracious, with the addition of the frozen area in Blizzard Beach, my teenagers, I have never laughed so hard as we did going down the racing slides at Blizzard Beach. All five of us on our bellies getting water like thrown in our faces. I thought I was going to drown. I honestly thought I was going to drown. And we all just got up and looked at each other and died laughing. Every age at the water
park. I have the funniest memory of being at the water parks when I was younger and we were doing a tube slide. And I've talked before on the pod about how my family was just like never closer than when we were at Disney, right? Like we're all just bonding and doing the same things. It was so great. And we loved going to the water parks. And I felt like even then as a little girl, I felt like we were doing this secret thing that people didn't do, right? Like
nobody was
doing in the 90s, especially a lot of people just weren't going to the water parks and we were every trip. And I have this very funny memory. We were going down a tube slide. I'm very short. I'm still short. I was really short when I was little. And we got to the bottom of the water slide and I got out of my tube and I'm standing in the water. So if I'm standing up and it's waist deep, it's clearly, you know, it's not that deep. And my mom's tube completely flipped over at the bottom of the slide. And she freaked out because she doesn't necessarily love getting submerged in water. And she thought she was drowning. And I'm like standing by her. I'm like, Mom, I'm standing here. It's not that deep. But those like that's the memory I remember of the water park. You know what I mean? We have so many fun moments from the time you get there to the time you leave.
I have a pretty funny water park story as well. It's kind of days gone past because they have adapted the water parks and changed. Like they've added the coaster kind of style water slide over in Typhoon Lagoon. But before those were put in, did you ever go when there was the little shark infested pool that you could snorkel across? Did you ever go to that?
No.
Okay. So there was this area that you had a snorkel gear. You would just pick it up. They would sanitize it and you'd get in. And Becky, like 15 years ago, was terrified of fish, terrified. But I convinced myself I was going to do it. And I got in and I'm snorkeling across the top of this. It's not a huge pool, but it had fish in it. It had lots of colored tropical fish and baby sharks. Like these sharks were maybe a foot or foot and a half long. And I was terrified. I'm snorkeling across. They don't let you stand up in it because you're going to stand up and you're going to hurt the fish or the coral reef and all of the things that they have in it. And I am certain there was a shark attacking me. But what had actually happened was I was going and I ran into somebody's butt. And I stood up and they freaked out at me because you're not supposed to stand up. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. This shark's attacking me. And it wasn't. It was just me running into some lady. I don't know. But I have that core memory because I got over a fear. I faced my fear that I was going to get in the tank with these fish. And
it's so good. I don't skip the water parks. Do not skip the water parks. They're full of fun and they still feel like a secret.
They really do. In spring break, you haven't hit summer heat yet. It is hot, but you don't have so much of the humidity yet. And so I feel like a lot of people overlook the water parks in spring break time because it's not summer, right? Water parks and summer go together, but the weather is great for the water parks and they're so affordable to add to your park ticket. So affordable.
They are. And this was my dopey mistake of this past spring break is it was my plan to add the water parks and I decided not to do it. I instantly regretted it. I could have added it while we were there, but we just already sort of had our agenda laid out and we didn't. There is no way that I'm going to do spring break again and not do it.
Yeah, it's such a smart move. It's time away from all the crowds because they really aren't that packed this time of year. The water parks are just, they're a hidden gem.
I agree. And going along with dopey silly mistakes that we make. Obviously, we've talked a lot about Genie Plus and pre-planning. I think another mistake you can make is not adjusting your budget accordingly for while you're there, because another thing we did that I don't know that I would do necessarily, the best money well spent was the Fantasmic dining package.
Oh my goodness. I've done that twice now. And you get like the perfect center seat. You get the perfect view of everything from every direction.
So we had front row center. And I own a dance studio. One of my former dancers, who's an alumni, is part of the magic of that show. She's a dancer in it. So it was very important that we saw her and we get to be there. So we splurged on the package and it was quite expensive. For my family of five, our bill was really high. But the food was okay. Honestly, we did Hollywood Brown Derby. And I am apologizing now to our teammate friend Carla, who loves Hollywood Brown Derby. I gave it a try. Not my favorite.
Yeah, I think it can be hit and miss. When we did the Fantasmic package most recently, we also did it at Hollywood Brown Derby, and it is very expensive. It can be cheaper if you choose to pair it with 50s Primetime or one of the less expensive meals.
I would absolutely do it that way. I would probably do Primetime if I did it again, but I would do the package because being front row for Fantasmic, I saw it a few months back over on the farthest section. We were together by the show, kind of left feeling like, yeah, it was good. It was fine. You know, this time, the vantage point, sitting front, sitting center, watching, I was crying most of the show.
See, you get it now, right?
It's
Fantasmic is my Disney reason. If I was going to Disney for one thing and one thing only, and that's why I was really sad when we got put over on that far side when we were there a couple months ago as a team, was because as much as Disney really does a good job of hiding the magic in terms of how things happen, when you're on those far sides, you can't help but see how some things are accomplished. And it front and center is so worth the investment of the Fantasmic package.
I would add that to your silly mistake, not planning for something like that, adding that into your budget. I think it's so important. It's going to give you a much better experience with some of these things that are so much a part of what Disney is. Okay. Let's talk about sneezy things you avoid. For me, my answer is going to be different than you.
You think?
Yeah, my answer is definitely different. I'm interested to hear what yours is.
So one thing that I know that you absolutely love this, and so this might be completely down a different realm of what you're thinking. I'm thinking, what am I avoiding during spring break? Our very first time we went to Disney for spring break, we knew the crowds were crazy. We were going for a week. We didn't have reservations far in advance. And so I went on and I'm like, there's just no availability. And Sean's like, well, what if we change hotels? And you said you changed hotels, right? You did the split stay.
We did. Yep.
And you love doing that because you get to experience different things. I love doing that as well, but I will never do that again the way that I did it this last time. I split stayed 6 nights in 6 different resorts because it was the only way I could stay on Disney property for the full week.
That sounds like a bucket list challenge.
It really kind of became one, and it was its own special kind of memory, but I was so tired. I was so tired of repacking my kids up in their suitcases, going back to the car, moving to a new hotel. I love split stays, but I think the max I would ever do is one change. One resort to another resort.
One resort to another is great. If your trip is long enough, you could do it twice.
Yes.
I have to avoid my sneeziest flying.
Really?
Over spring break.
Okay.
Because my family always flies. I'm from the Midwest. Our drive is 14 hours to Disney. Do you know when I priced out flights for spring break rates, how much it was going to be?
Well, you're timesing by 5. So I'm sure it was insanity.
$8,000.
What? What?
That was what our tickets were. And then when they went down a little, it was like 57, I want to say, 5,700.
That's more than your entire trip.
Correct. And I couldn't do it. And so last spring break, it was the same story. This spring break, it was the same. And because we have a little bit of extra time padded in, because we have this extended break, we're off from everything, like we said, we drove last spring break, we drove this spring break. And the drive is okay. My kids actually do great. We have tons of car activities already ready for them and snacks and things going on. And it's, we strategize to make it work for us, but the traffic. Oh my word. We drove down in one drive. We left at 8 a.m. and we got to Disney property. I want to say it was like midnight. And actually, this just reminded me, we actually did a 3-way split stay.
Did you?
We did. I can't. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You stayed one night in Disney Springs.
Yeah, we did. So we drove down in one night and I'm going to use that. We're going to transition into sleepy here in a minute, but our drive home, the traffic leaving Florida and heading back north toward the Midwest, it took us 32 hours to drive home.
Oh my gosh, that's insanity. And I would say if I'm going to Disney and I'm going to be there for the week, do not stay off property. Getting from your off property hotel onto Disney property is going to add at least an hour to your day just because.
Absolutely. That's ridiculous. So good. Stay on property. That is going to transition us into sleepy. You got to stay on property. You need the extra hours in the park. You need the priority for the individual lightning lanes because you're not going to ride some of the best attractions without it. You need to avoid the traffic getting into the Disney bubble. So we arrived really late overnight and we stayed at the Drury Plaza in Disney Springs. Mm-hmm. I used a Smart Moms travel agent to book my room.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
And it was you.
And wasn't it so much less stress to use a travel agent and not try to figure that out on your drive?
I was dying laughing. Obviously, we're both Smart Moms agents. And it was getting late. I was feeling over, I was with my kids, I'm on my phone. And so I knew that you were available. And I was like, please book this room for me. And so you did. And it was like, here's your confirmation. You're all set. I was like, oh my gosh,
everybody should do nothing.
Cause you nothing. Nothing. I was like, use a travel agent. So you hooked me up. We stayed at the new Drury Plaza in Disney Springs, which is a great offsite option. It does have a shuttle to the parks, but it is a scheduled shuttle. It has a routine schedule. It's not just round the clock, round the clock, round the clock, like on property. So you have to be way more, you have to think it through more. They did have a free breakfast included, which was great, except they told us breakfast was included until 10. Okay. So we went down about 9:40, right? Like that's reasonable to go grab our breakfast. They were cleaning the whole thing up. There was nothing left.
Oh.
And we were like, is there no more food coming? And they're like, no, it ends at 10. And we were like, right, but it's 9:40 and we're here for the included breakfast. They literally cleaned the yogurt and cereal up as my wife was pouring a bowl.
Oh my goodness.
That whole experience in theory should be great. You have this breakfast included, but we didn't really get to benefit from it. It was like only pancakes left, which was fine. You know, it is what it is. And then the split stay from offsite to on is a lot different than when you're doing it within the bubble, because when you're in the bubble, Disney moves your luggage for you. So we packed up from the Drury, we packed up our car and we drove to our first resort in the bubble, which was Coronado Springs.
And you already know my feelings about Coronado Springs. It's
you love it.
I love it.
I'm on the fence about it. I do love it. I love the vibe. It was gorgeous. It felt deluxe, which we stay a lot. The tower is stunning. The pool was super fun. The pyramid slide is a ball. We went down it many, many times. They do not have a zero entry. Mm-hmm. With kids, a zero entry really matters. It makes a huge, huge difference in my pool day as an adult, as mom.
Yeah, well, for the kids being able to easy access, but also for parents to just sit in the very, very shallow. And I will give the caveat that when I say I love Coronado Springs, I love Destino Tower version of Coronado Springs. If I can just have Destino Tower and three bridges and the lights twinkling over the water, it's perfection.
Gorgeous. It's gorgeous. And the beach there, and they have tons of seating that's stunning. The lake that the bridges are crossing over to get to three bridges are gorgeous. I mean, I can't say enough good things. Mm-hmm. I will say I was hosted by Disney for that portion of our trip, which was so awesome. And we had a preferred room in the casitas. I don't know that I would love staying at Coronado if I wasn't there or in the tower.
Yeah. It's so big. It's such a massive
resort.
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels gigantic. And to stay in a standard room really, really far off feels like you lose a lot of the benefits and a lot of what the resort has to offer.
Yeah. And it's why I love Destino Tower, because Destino Tower, those rooms are equal to or better than some of the other deluxe accommodations on Disney property. They are remarkable. Even the toiletries you get are an upgrade from a moderate. Like, you're not getting a moderate room and you are paying a moderate price when you're staying Destino Tower. But then you just go down the really cool elevator, which is completely different. Conversation. It's really, really cool. You go down the elevator and then your bus is right out in front of Destino Tower. It's if you're staying at Coronado Springs, it is worth the extra investment to stay at Destino Tower.
I agree 100%. And if not the tower, then at very minimum, the preferred rooms.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It is a bus only resort. So for my family, we have a double stroller and three young kids. So we weren't doing a lot of at Coronado. I was doing my hosted events. So I took the buses, and as an adult, that's no problem. It was fine. It was super easy to navigate. But we did our split stay. And when we moved to the second portion of our trip is when we did the parks. Unfortunately, that resort was also bus only, but there was a good trade-off there. So what happens when you split stay, we packed up all of our things. And then I just called Bell Services. We had like 10 bags between us, and Bell Services comes and grabs them. We let them know at that point, hey, we're switching to another Disney resort, which was Animal Kingdom Lodge. We were going to Kidani Village, and they were like, okay, your bags will meet you there later. They took them away on a cart, and that was that. It was super easy. We didn't have to see them again.
I think that if I had done my 6 days at six different resorts trip and included Bell Services moving our bags, it would have felt like a very different trip. And so maybe if we jump back to Doc for a second, and if you're doing a split stay, really utilize those Bell Service.
Absolutely. So Bell Services took them. We had our brunch at Steakhouse 71 that morning. So we went, had bottomless mimosas, enjoyed a really long brunch, to be honest. Didn't even make it into the park till 1 in the afternoon. And at that point, we walked from the Contemporary, made our way back to Animal Kingdom Lodge that night, and called Bell Services. Bags were there. Super easy. We had a one-bedroom villa, Savannah View, So the balcony on a Savannah view connects all the way from the living room portion to the bedroom. So it's a huge extended balcony. And every morning around 8 a.m., they would let the zebras out. And we had 6 zebras just right below our balcony that were just let out at the same time every day. They were right at our balcony every day, along with some giraffes. And for any smart moms listening, our hidden Mickey of the day is Savannah. The Savannah view was... it's a great trade-off for the bus only.
Well, that sounds terrible. I don't know how you handled yourself having a one bedroom with a Savannah view. Like, good gracious. Ugh, so jealous. So jealous. I've had Savannah view at Animal Kingdom Lodge, and it can be a pretty big price adjustment from a standard view to a Savannah view, but there's nothing like it. Like, just do it.
I agree. Yeah, it's almost not, I don't want to say not worth staying there, because you do have Savannah views all over the property. There are viewing points everywhere, but gosh, when you're paying to stay deluxe, you're paying to stay there. Having the animals out of your room are just amazing. And the Kidani and the Jumbo House pools, we actually used both of them. As a guest at Kidani, you do have access to both. So I really preferred the Kidani pool to the Jumbo pool.
I think it's interesting because I think a lot of people don't realize the Animal Kingdom Lodge is really two resorts within a resort. And there are several resorts like that in Disney that kind of call it one resort, but it's two resorts. But have you been to both of the lobbies? Like, they're very different from each other.
Extremely different. And Boma, which is a restaurant inside Jumbo House. Mm-hmm. We had Boma breakfast. The buffet there is probably the best breakfast buffet on property. Wow. It's also like a hidden gem. Have you had it?
I haven't yet. It's on my list, but I haven't gotten there yet.
You've got to get there. The Boma buffet. It was my first time having it. And our dining episode released last week. We didn't talk about the Boma buffet enough because I had not been there. And you just said you haven't been there. Gosh, it is so good.
You're adding these things. Remember on the dining episode, I had joked that I've tried everything I want to try. And in this episode alone, just in this conversation, you've added two things that I now need to go try. No kidding.
So Boma was at the bottom. It's at the bottom of the lobby in Jumbo House. And that lobby is super impressive. It's gorgeous. The Kidani lobby is a little more understated. It's still beautiful, but it's not as grand at all. It's the smaller of the resorts. It's actually the DVC property, but you can still stay there through a package. And the pool, I just like it. It's a little more intimate. It has 2 slides, a huge splash area. I like it better.
I do wish that they would add Skyliners from there.
Yeah.
But because busing is not my favorite form of transportation at Disney. However, they do it well. They do the busing well, even though you're kind of far away and all of those things. The benefits you get from being in such a beautiful resort with the Savannah view and the sunsets at Animal Kingdom Lodge, I'm pretty sure are sprinkled with pixie dust. I don't know how they make it even more beautiful than it is anywhere else, but... such
amazing. It is. Yeah. The only other thing I would say about resorts as they pertain to spring break, the pricing is higher. It's a peak season. So the rates per night are going to be way different than if you're pricing that same resort for, let's say, midsummer. So, you know, this might be a smart time if you're trying to budget Genie Plus and things like that into your trip. It might be a good time to explore options like Pop Century or Art of Animation that are going to be on the Skyliner. They're going to offer convenient transportation so that you're avoiding the bus line at the end of the night with the parks. And the rates are still going to be more like a moderate over spring break because the prices are higher in general. So it's not a bad time to really look into some of those options, I think, when you're looking at this season in particular.
Yeah. And not overlooking that they have family suites in some of the value resorts. I think that the All-Star Music family suite, while it's not going to be the grandeur and the beautiful piece that you get when you're staying in a deluxe one bedroom Savannah view by any means.
Right.
But for our family with 2 adults and 3 teenagers, having 3 queen size beds that pull down. I mean, the Murphy beds might be doubles, but they're full size real mattresses, not pull out mattresses. Those kinds of details are things that can really make or break your sleeping situation, which there's nothing like Disney tired. So having that be a difference maker can really be a game changer.
Yeah, I completely agree, because the pull out couch in our one bedroom villa, to be honest, wasn't that great.
It felt like when we stayed at the treehouse, right? Chris and I slept on the pull-out sofa and it felt like we were sleeping on futon mattress.
Yeah.
Not meant for grown-up bodies by any means. So whenever you can find a room that has a Murphy bed and you get a full mattress, it's so worth it.
Yeah. And a lot of them are really starting to integrate that. So it's an important point. So let's close out here, the 7s, Bashful. things people might be nervous to ask or think about or say or may not know. Is it worth it? Can you still go to Disney and have a good experience at spring break?
I think absolutely. I think no matter what time it is, if it's the time that works for your family, just know that you need to go in with a plan, and that plan needs to be adaptable, and it can have the magic. The magic is there no matter when you go.
I completely agree. I think a lot of people are nervous to say, oh, are we going to have a good time? Are we going to get to experience things? Are we going to get to have a full Disney experience within the bubble in these peak seasons? The answer is yes. You just need to use the tips and strategies. You got to do the things we've talked about. You know, it's possible.
I think really one of the best tips I can give you is use a travel agent. We know those tips that are really going to make or break your difference in making the trip perfect versus making the trip good.
Yeah, I mean, that's just it, right? The help is free and we know what we're doing. I've done now 2 spring breaks back to back, one with 7 kids under 10 and one with just my kiddos. 2 different trips entirely, both extremely successful. We didn't see and do every single thing on our list, but we did most. And they're 2 of my favorite trips we've ever taken.
Yeah, both of us are on the Animal Kingdom is not our favorite park. But on this particular trip, both of us found things that we love about Animal Kingdom and things that we have never tried, because these busier times force you to think outside of the box and maybe do something that you've overlooked historically.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is a perfect way to say it. I go to Disney all the time. You go to Disney all the time. I discover things that I didn't think of before, didn't know existed before when I go during peak season.
Yeah. We discovered the lunching pad for the very first time because the line for everywhere else was crazy. And it's just like you find these hidden gems that are now going to be our go-tos that we've overlooked for what Macy is 16 years old and we've never eaten there. Like, find those things that allow yourself to find things that you've overlooked historically.
That's just it. Spring break is doable. Not only is it doable, it's awesome. You're going to create great memories. Best time to unlock, unplug, be present with your family. You may not ride every ride, but we've said it before. We will always say it. Disney is about way more than the rides.
100%.
We're going to take another quick break and we'll be right back.
Hey y'all, it's LJ here, and I am ready to give you my take on spring break. I have a lot of feelings about spring break. I really do. You've probably heard me talk before about the trip that didn't go so well. That trip was during spring break. That's the trip that we ended up feeling like, I mean, I didn't feel like I never wanted to come back. I felt like a deep kinship with Disney, but Mike definitely felt like we're never coming back here. And I did convince him, obviously, to come back. The next time we went, it was also during spring break. That trip was much better and much more enjoyable. I'm here to give you both sides of it, because you can have an awful time at spring break if you do not do your planning and if you do not know what you're getting into, or you can have an amazing time at spring break if your expectations are set correctly, and most importantly, if you do your planning. Because we went during a very busy time. That magical trip that changed my life in 2013 was record-breaking crowds, and we just had an amazing time anyway. We used plans and figured out where we should be. We looked at crowd calendars, we figured out what parks we should be, and it totally changed our opinion of everything, and we enjoyed every minute of it. What you don't want to do is you don't want to go in without a plan. That's what we did the first time, and it was very, very difficult. There's crowds everywhere. There was very little dining to be had. We ended up waiting super long, even for quick service. There's people everywhere. We felt very elbow to elbow. But my memories of that trip are like, it was hot, it was awful, we were sweaty, and there were people everywhere. We couldn't get food. That's, I think, what you're looking at if you go in without a plan. Now, if I change my thoughts and think about the trip where we had a plan, here's what's different. We went in at rope drop. So that's Disney speak for getting there when the park opens. We had a plan to do one headliner right when park opens and then switch to the B level rides, where people are still going to be spending time running from headliner to headliner. But my kids were little, so we did one big one and then we went to all the ones that had no wait. At 9 in the morning, nobody's running to the teacups, Winnie the Pooh, Peter Pan. Most people are running for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, the mountains. So we would use that very first opportunity to get one of those under our belt and then usually grab a rider switch because our kids were under height after that, we'd just go hit 4 or 5 of the smaller rides that were perfect for the little ones. And then we would either have late morning, like the last breakfast reservation of the day, like at 10:30 or 11. And then we would use our fast passes. I mean, this is back in the day. You remember how you had to like run around? I think we were running around to get them. And then we were using them during the heat of the day. Then when you scheduled them, I would always try to schedule my fast passes to start around like 11. Now that you use Lightning Lane, I still think that's good. It's different because you've got to work with what's offered and that type of thing. But I still think it's good. You don't need fast passes or Lightning Lane first thing in the morning. And you more need them around 10:30, 11, 12. And then the busiest part of the day is between 11 and 4, and then you're going to start getting people leaving who've been there since the morning. And that's when I love to go back to the resort and take a break. And then I love to head back to the parks at 7, 8 o'clock, depending on when the park closes, be there for fireworks or for whatever nighttime show there is. That's just my blueprint for the best day during a busy day. You also want to use crowd calendars and make sure you're at the right park. So if you have 4 or 5 park days, it could make a huge difference for you to be at Magic Kingdom on a Saturday versus at Magic Kingdom on a Tuesday. That's going to be a really big difference. And I never think you feel the crowds as much at Epcot. So if it's a busy crowd day, I feel like I'm going to go to Epcot on that day. And then I'm going to go to Magic Kingdom on that Tuesday. I love being able to look at crowd calendars and planning my days that way. Spring break just makes planning so much more important than it is on just the other random day of the year. The big question, should you go during spring break or should you not? And I think you know your life best. If this is the only time you can go, any Disney is better than no Disney. That's like a firm belief I have. But if you can go at another time and it's not that big of a deal, you're going to save money and you're going to have lower crowds. And the weather is beautiful during spring break, so you're not losing on that front either way. I would say it's not the worst time to go. It's not the best time to go. It's a mid-level time to go. And if you get a sense of peace of being able to go with your kids not missing school, then I think that might tip the scale. So I wouldn't be afraid to go during spring break. It's not my favorite time to go, but I wouldn't be scared of it. Do what works for you.
We are back and we are ready for the Lightning Lane. Becky, it's just you today. Are you ready to be in the hot seat?
Let's go.
All right. As it pertains to spring break, here we go. Are you going to buy Genie Plus or pay for a dining package?
Oh, Genie Plus.
Would you have a water park day or a pool day?
Water park day.
Would you drive or fly?
Drive. Although that traffic.
Would you rather stay on the monorail or the Skyliner?
I love the Skyliner, so I'm going to say the Skyliner.
I like that answer because having easier access into Hollywood Studios and Epcot, which I felt were busier with bigger wait times, mm-hmm. would be a great, great thing. Okay, if you had to cut something for a budget, would you cut back on your resort type or cut back on a park day?
Ooh, I think I would cut back on a park day. I think those rest days are so valuable.
I agree. And pay extra for a better resort to enjoy on the rest day.
Yeah, absolutely.
With the lines as long as they are during peak season, would you rather wait in line for a ride or for a show?
Ooh, I think a show, because the lines are going to move faster. They house a lot of people at once. So even though if the line looks really long, you're going to get in and get some AC time, feet rest time, and a really, really good show.
Okay, if you had to skip one park because of cost being a little higher at spring break and you could only visit 3 parks, which park would you cut out of your trip?
Ooh. I'm probably going to say Animal Kingdom. I can't. The other 3 parks, just I have my heart in all 3 of them.
I know. I had such a good time at Animal Kingdom. I can't even believe I'm saying that because it's so not my favorite park. It's probably the one I would cut too. But we had a great time.
And my favorite ride in all of Disney's at Animal Kingdom. And so I don't know. Maybe I would pick Magic Kingdom. I don't. That's so hard.
My family was disappointed with Flight of Passage.
Are you for real?
Yeah. They like Guardians so much that they were a little bit disappointed.
Interesting. Maybe it's about the emotional tie too, because like you were saying, when you experience something for the first time, it really sets a core memory to that. And so then you're comparing that first time to another thing's first time. And like you were comparing Fantasmic's first time, right? It was exactly. Like, it's good, but it wasn't great. That's so sad to me that they were disappointed in Flight of Passage because it's so good.
Well, we'll just call them wrong.
I will call her today and I will say, you are wrong. How dare you say that about my Flight of Passage?
That's going to do it for us today on the Smart Moms Plan Disney podcast. As always, there is no wrong time to go to Disney. There is no wrong way to accomplish Disney. It's just that you have to make sure you're strategizing, you know what you're getting yourself into to give yourself the best experience you possibly can. As always, if you are planning, looking at planning or ready to start planning again, and you don't already have a Smart Moms travel agent to help you for free, be sure to check out the link in our bio or our show notes to get connected with a free Smart Moms travel agent and Smart Moms Plan Disney podcast host. Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe everywhere you get your podcasts and on social media platforms. And until next time, we'll see you real soon.